get lost, you know.
Because we've learnt about books.
Yes, do now tell me about books.
Well, I mean, you know, there were always books all over the place. And what is more, they weren't just read by her. She would pass them on. And
she had a bag, didn't she? She put books in and carried around
with her.
That's
right, yes. And then, of course, the books were sent from the libraries. And she would suddenly, in the midst of dictating, say, oh, you must read that, you see, and out would come the book, whichever it was. And, you know.
So she really was educating you as well as...
Oh, yes, yes. But what I wanted to try and get hold of, and this is awfully subtle, and I don't know quite how to get hold of it, is that there was in her life an emphasis on education rather than on living, in a way.
Mm.
And I think this is reflected in something to do with her relationships. That she was either being educated or educating all the time.
So there's always a distance.
So that there was certain distance, and I think that this came from something in her which I never understood. I mean, even the, you know, her, when I spoke to you about what she had said about Charles, next time do this, what I really was trying to get hold of was that there was a deep emotional experience going on in her which really mattered, and she turned it into a sort of education.
Yes, a sort of practical thing that she was trying to teach you
yes.
about.
Yes, and her defense against her own feelings was always tied up with rushing towards education.
And doing something.
And doing something. Mm. And she said to me at that time, you see, now I have to work even harder.
Did she really? Yes, yes. I mean, there's no doubt that it was a very profound event for her. I mean, you've read the biography, have you, by Diana?
No, I haven't. On Charles...
Eva.
Mm. Oh, that was a long time. No, I don't think I have. I've got a copy of it.
Oh, well, I've got a copy at home. I can lend it to you if you're interested.
I'd be very interested,
yeah. I'd be very interested to know your view of it. But, you see, what Diana says was that in her later life she was depressed.
She was very depressed.
And... I couldn't quite understand why she was just, well, now, presumably it's partly then simply Charles Graves and possibly feeling she ought to have married him or something. I don't know. What do you think the root of the depression is? It's not the concentration camps or anything like that, is
no.
it?
No. You see, this, I think, is a very important factor, that I think if you spend your life using work and sublimations in this way, there comes a point in later life when you feel you've missed the boat. And somewhere or other, I have the feeling that Eva felt that that she hadn't got a closeness in her life.
Mm.
Now, I mean, when I say this, it's a long time ago.
Mm.
I was young.
Mm. But that's
she
your theory.
She certainly had a fullness. I mean, she would love the holidays with her family in the cottage.
It just was probably perhaps not a really successful family life, do you think, with a husband, so to speak, and you notice that when you get older, whereas you might have got away without noticing it much when you're younger.
And it may have been that she was a depressed type of person, all
yes.
of us are, that the work and the needing to work for a cause had to do with a basic depressive personality,
yes.
which in later life.
Yeah, and also I wonder whether she got the recognition really she felt in her heart of hearts she ought to have got. I mean, I think both Rachel and David were sorry she hadn't got an honour, for instance.
I think so. And there was a great contradiction here, you see, because although she was a socialist, she was a rather right-wing socialist. She became disillusioned, I think, to some extent with socialism. She hadn't got Eleanor Rathbone's rather blind. She was much more feminine than Eleanor Rathbone.
Yes, I was asking about
that. Much more. She hadn't got Eleanor Rathbone's ability to blind herself to things. And I suspect that there was much more capacity to look into herself
yes.
than one knew.
Mm. But she wouldn't talk about herself much.
Not a great deal. I mean, this is why I felt that the period after Charles's death, when I was very close to her and I stayed with her for some days, and, you know, I really got to know her at that point a little. And even then, you know, she would try very hard to brush it all aside and to... I remember about the funeral for Charles was from her house. And after that, they had a meal there. And she said to me, don't put too much sugar out, make sure that they're saccharins, you see. And I mean, this is typical of her, you see, at that point.
And practical in a way. I mean, yet she's not practical, is she, in some
ways?
No,
I think practical is not the right word, that she had to use some sort of doing things. And even there was a cause, you see, I'm saving for the cause, which was larger than the personal relationships.
And in a way enables you to get away from personal relationships.
That's right, yes.
Yes, yes. But getting back to what you were saying about Charles, what do you think she got out of the relationship with Charles, really? Presumably companionship, in some sense.
Look, I honestly don't know.
I mean, did he encourage her, for instance, in her interests?
I don't think he had very much understanding for her interests.
No, I mean, I get that impression rather. I mean, he was he had a strong sense of humour, didn't he?
Very strong, but, you know, he had his room, he would do his cartoons, he would do one cartoon a week. One didn't ever know of them going out a great deal together. She was out most evenings. He would call me in sometimes and say, have a whiskey with me. And after all, I'd been there, I really don't know for how long. I've tried hard to work out without really realizing that there was this close relationship. Mm. And it was, I don't think I would have realized if she hadn't...
That's very, very, very interesting. I can't remember how long she'd known Charles Graves, but I mean,
quite a long time.
Yes.
He'd had a flat nearby.
Yes. Yes. What about administration? I mean, you say she wasn't really a good administrator. What do you mean by that? I mean, do you just mean by the paperwork was not her forte, so to speak? She could never find things.
She could never find anything. I don't know.
Because she was also dreadfully unpunctual, wasn't she?
She was dreadfully unpunctual. Papers were always on top of each other. They were always lost. They were. She always had something to do at a particular moment when something else had to be done. She was. I mean. Just trying to think of something else.
You see, somebody was saying to me...
Turn it off for a second, because there's something in my... One of the things that she tried to do was to get others to do what she couldn't do herself. A lot of her educational attitude was demanding of others that they would be punctual, that they would provide the sort of things that somehow she couldn't do herself.
Yes, that's very interesting. So, in a sense, the delegation consists in a recognition of her own inadequacies rather
than... unconscious recognition.
Yes,
because I don't think she had the slightest idea. But it would always be a demand, not a demand, but a hope and an expectation that the other person would be the sort of person I think perhaps she wanted to be. And I don't know what it is.
Yes, that's very interesting. I hadn't realised that at all. But, of course, I mean, that fits absolutely, doesn't it? As far as actually sort of the way she treated you, and you were really a secretary, were you? I mean...
I was an organising secretary.
Mm, which is a step above being a secretary, isn't it?
It is. Mm. But, you know, even there, the point was this. I'd never been a secretary, I'd been a teacher. She was somewhat hesitant, and I don't think she ever felt really that I was quite the right sort of person. She wanted a person. At that time I was a teacher. I hadn't got a degree. I hadn't got any of the sort of qualifications that she looked up at. Mm. I think there was she was an educational and a social snob.
Yes.
And certainly she loved you as a person because you were part of her entourage and because you liked her very much and you became part of her family. But she could separate this. I never felt, although I knew she liked me and would care for me and everything else, that I was quite in her class.
How would you feel that? How would that be brought to your knowledge? I presume she didn't want.
Well,
to
I mean, she came from an aristocratic family to begin
yes,
with.
Yes, she did. Yeah.
And she did really rate this sort of thing high, and yet she didn't want to.
Yes. Mm.
And I always had the feeling that her socialism was very much mixed up with this problem.
Mm. Trying to convince herself that in fact she wasn't a snob, so to speak. But of course her mother was, I presume she admired her mother tremendously. Her mother was a very competent and
very
capable woman.
Yes.
But very much a grande dame, you know.
Yes,
I mean,
yes.
And I mean, it was very interesting what you said about her family. You see, this is something that I think Diana said to me, that in a sense a lot of her social work consists in trying to extend to the world at large this Jewish family that she'd grown up in and which she valued tremendously, and wanting to extend those sorts of relationships outwards, you know, on a broader scale. But you feel she actually made a family out of the people she was directly working with as well, did she?
I think so. I think we were all her extended family, yes. Mm. I think that an extended family, but certainly her children in a way. I mean,
you mean she was teaching you? And
I think to some extent. Mm. It's very difficult to put across the fact that, in a sense, I don't know, perhaps the way Erna Nelke said that she felt her defender had gone. We never grew up, and we were never her equals entirely.
Mm. Of course, you were younger than she was anyway,
considerably
weren't you?
Younger, yes.
Would make it difficult to be her equals. You hadn't got her experience. But you see, another thing which...
Perhaps it's the wrong way of putting it. But... Yes, go on, you see.
I mean, David emphasised that she was a person with contacts, that she had a lot of people she knew, which went right back to her Cambridge days,
right,
the Fabian sort of
That's
days.
Right, yes.
And she could get things done by knowing the right person and plugging you in to the right person, making the right contact.
This is absolutely true. One thing I just remember now, I was with her at the time Morley was bombed, and this really shocked me. Terribly, and the people who died there, and the fact that she wasn't there, and she really at that moment felt she ought to have been there.
Mm. Mm.
That it.
Yes, I've heard that too from somebody. There is a sort of certain capacity for self-reproach that you get, don't you, in her all the time.
Yes.
She's always punishing herself, isn't she, for things she hadn't
and
done.
And she could never really, I think this is what I'm trying to get at, that she could never really enjoy anything, you see. I mean, it wasn't by chance that she went to Buckingham Palace inadequately dressed. She didn't enjoy her femininity, she didn't bother to... dress nicely, and she had a lovely face. I don't know what she looked like as a young woman, but you know, it was all.
She could have looked nice.
She could have looked beautiful. Mm.
But she didn't bother with dress, partly because she has a sort of rather obsessive feeling about time, doesn't she? I mean, this is something that's relatively unimportant and
no,
so
I don't. Yes, but I don't believe. I think that you and I would take things. You would take things much more in terms of practicality. Mm. I would take things much more that she had to behave in this way because of an inner need, and then rationalized it onto external events.
Yes, yes.
And
yes.
This, I think, would come out in relation to both her work and her relationships. I don't know quite how she worked and how she got on with her domestic staff, because I have the feeling that she wasn't interested enough to give them a sense of encouragement.
Yes, you said she went on from one housekeeper to another. Was this because there were rows?
Now, this I don't know. Mm. When I say this, I mean that I really don't know, and I don't remember.
Yes.
I was there when there were about two or three, but it wasn't rows as far as I remember, but I would have thought lack of real interest in what went on.
Mm. Yes, yes.
I mean, people need appreciation, and the one thing she couldn't really appreciate very much.
I see. Yes, but I mean, presumably she appreciated your work, did she? I mean, as with Erna Nelke, she said to Erna on occasion, you know, you really have done this awfully well.
Oh,
I can't remember what it was.
Yes,
but,
yes. She did appreciate it, and she did enjoy the working together, and I can't remember her ever saying to me, I'm sure she did, you've done this well. I was, for example, not a typist, and I typed for her, and she would say, well, you know, this is pretty good, I couldn't do it, you see, this sort of thing. And she certainly was very appreciative of all sorts of things, and you wanted to do things for her. But I rather saw it in a slightly different way. I think perhaps I felt that her warmth, for example, she was shocked, and I was shocked when the Ministry of Labour called me up, and it was quite ridiculous, and she did everything possible to help me, either to stay with her or to get into something that I wanted to, and our friendship continued indefinitely after that. Mm. And there was a very real interest in the work that I was doing, and the things that we enjoyed together, for example, the work at Morley College, there was always real appreciation for, and great fun together about it. Or the, I'm just trying to think.
When you say she's not happy, I mean, that's not incompatible with having great fun or getting a lot out of life, is it?
No. And yet, you see,
as I was saying earlier,
she
believes in seizing the moment, doesn't she?
Yes,
enjoying
and she did
life
enjoy
to full,
life to the full.
When the
opportunity presented. For example, I was just trying to think whether she turned play into work too. I really don't know. I was thinking of her at the cottage and swimming and doing that sort of thing. But there certainly would be the feeling of you must be up and doing.
Mm. Yes, you mustn't be lying about and wasting the opportunities that life presents.
Yes.
What about her relationship with Eleanor, actually? I mean, they obviously have... You see, one reason why I'm very interested in Eva, and I'm as interested in Eleanor as I am in Eva, actually, is that they worked together as a pair to great effect in the 1920s. I mean, that is long before you came into contact.
Oh, long before.
But, you know, they were a very powerful team, those two, and they got a lot of things done. What was their relationship? How would you describe their relationship by the time you knew her?
Well, you see, Eleanor was very much taken in by the communist situation. As far as I understand, there was a period when there was a feeling that Eleanor was a fellow traveller and that she didn't really see what was going on. But Eva did see what was going on.
This is in the 1930s?
Yes.
Yes.
I hope I'm saying what other people thought. I found this difficult to say. Eleanor could always be roped in, and one was glad of it too, because there were so many people who were suffering communist activities in Germany, and they would come over here, and Eleanor would be sure to help them.
Mm.
But then they would go on over here, perhaps. Now, over the issue of family allowances, Eleanor and Eva worked very happily together, always, and as far as I remember. But there were occasions when there were disagreements.
Mm.
Now, I cannot remember how much I was aware of these things, and certainly I heard arguments at times over the phone. And I don't know, was there a breach in the end between
them?
No, of course there wasn't. I remember when Eleanor died, and she was deeply distressed. But she was aware, and she did feel that Eleanor was often...
in a sense, deceived by people, or at least misguided.
Yes, that there was, I mean, she was, you see, Eleanor was in a way more right-wing than Eva, but
she's a humanitarian.
But she was basically a humanitarian and could often be brought into causes that Eva would not.
I see what you're getting at there. Yes. But
without realizing, see, I don't think Eleanor always knew that she was helping people who were going to use her.
And actually be anti-democratic in their methods, perhaps.
Right.
Whereas
right.
Eva's priority is democratic.
That's right. That's
yes.
right.
Mm.
Yes.
Yes. So she disliked communism, Russian communism anyway, as much as she disliked fascism.
Yes, she did.
Mm. Yes.
She was suspicious of Russian communism, even
yes.
at the time when...
a lot of people weren't on the left.
Yes,
But just for interest, because you mentioned it earlier, did Eva have any contacts with George Orwell, or did she ever read him?
Not that I know.
Because they're rather similar types in a sense. They're democratic socialists, aren't they?
But I think Eva would have seen George as a... more of an anarchist.
Mm.
And she certainly wasn't an anarchist.
Mm. Mm.
She had very
yes.
firm roots in yeah. the English traditions.
Yes, which is odd in a way, because she's not English in that she belongs to an enclave within England, doesn't she? That is the Jewish enclave, which is much more of an enclave
yes,
than
but
it
her
is now.
Family were Jewish English. They were English Jews
yes.
with titles, and they had become part of the establishment. And she was very much part of the establishment. Her husband wasn't a Jew, by the way.
Yes, that's quite true. Yes, yes. So, yes.
And I don't think that she had any Jewish feelings, particularly.
No, I think that's... Rachel and the others would support that. What they do, I think, feel is that she, as you well know, I mean, Jewishness doesn't just consist in having a set of beliefs.
Exactly.
It consists in certain attitudes of the family and attitudes to personal relationships and things, which she held on to even after she'd shed the belief.
Yes.
See what I mean?
What I think perhaps I'm saying is that while she would help anyone... at that time, of course, you know, the whole refugee problem was uppermost, and she was very concerned about it, and she would help people. She was never drawn in the way Eleanor was drawn in.
She was never uncritical, you mean?
Eleanor was basically a humanitarian, and Eva was an educationalist.
Yes, that's a nice way of putting the difference. But anyway, your point about the relationship is that Eva has a mind of her own and is not at all trampled over
That's
by
right.
Eleanor.
Yes.
But Eleanor could trample over people, wouldn't
yes.
she? I mean, she
yes.
was a terribly powerful...
She trampled over me. My goodness, I was absolutely terrified of her.
Were you really?
I mean, I was never terrified of Eva. You know, there were times when she could hurt me, and I would say that to her the next day. But Eleanor I never got close to.
Yes, Eleanor was a rather formidable-looking woman, wasn't she? I mean,
yes.
They were both quite big women, weren't they?
Yes, but Eleanor, Eva had a big, floppy, maternal appearance, whereas Eleanor, you never felt, had this.
No, she was a masculine
yes.
feminist, really,
yes.
was she?
Yes.
Yes, yes, yes.
I have the feeling that I was telling you know, after you rang me, I was telling them something... about Eva, which I feel I've lost completely.
Shall I switch off while you... What do you think about tact? I mean, do you think she... In a sense, you're implying that she wasn't a tactful person, this is Eva, that is, because she doesn't think how her remarks will be received by the person she's talking to. And yet, she was awfully successful as a political... agitator, whatever you like to call
she
it.
She was, you know, I don't think I've said how shy she was.
Was she really?
She really was a very, very shy person.
Oh.
And I haven't told you how she fell asleep. She always fell asleep while she was chairing anything. Surely people have told you this.
No.
One of the greatest difficulties for her was to chair anything and not fall asleep over it. And at times there were jokes about this, and she would ask one of us, you know, to step on her toes or something.
But why? I mean, because she got up terribly early in the mornings, didn't she?
She did get up very early, and I don't know, I mean, there again, how can I say? Looking on this now, I would say that basically people who fall asleep, now I'm speaking from the more, from my knowledge,
yes,
are people who are not being active about themselves. It was, I think, hard for her to be passive and to let someone else be active, perhaps.
I see, yes.
But certainly...
She either had to be doing something or
yes,
she was doing nothing.
Yes. But certainly there was a tendency to fall asleep during people's lectures. And it may be that she was very tired too, because she certainly got up early. She did a lot of walking. But I don't think I have stressed enough her generosity. I mean, in the sense... And this was a real generosity, that she had... The things she had, she enjoyed other people sharing. And if she wasn't using her cottage, you know, she would offer it to someone else. But also there was the organization, which her children carried on, of letting the cottage during her cottages during the period when she wasn't there, and this sort of thing, which was always suggesting, you know, when Hugh had leave, she would say, wouldn't you like to have the cottage and go down?
But she was generous not only with things, but also with her time, actually, wasn't she?
Yes.
When you think of how busy she was, she's prepared to listen to people with their problems personally and do something about it personally, which must have taken quite a lot of effort.
Yes, I'm sure that this is true. Do you know, I have a feeling that there's an area which I don't really know a great deal about, and that is her... relationships with people, because while she was so terribly shy on the one hand, and she could be quite abrupt and offhand, she was also very self-assured. She carried with her the assurance of a person who comes from a background which is assured, and she certainly expected people to do what she suggested, and she would brush aside anything that she didn't like or disagreed with. And I mean, she could be, I would have said that I wouldn't have thought of her as a very tactful person, quite frankly. No,
you see, you said, I think earlier, or you agreed with me in thinking that you can't separate her political from her personal life, really. And you know, I'm just wondering really what made her such a successful political operator in the 20s. It may have been partly the partnership with Eleanor, giving some things and
she had quite her own. I think she was successful in her own right. There was someone else who wrote a book on education and citizenship with her, and I cannot think of the man's name.
Not Lord Simon, was it?
No, but he was a very important factor in her life.
Yes, I believe
he was. And she really did not only rely upon him, but look up to him and really consider him as a... She would ask his advice a great deal. No, this was an educationalist, and there is a book called Education for Citizenship.
Which
she was very pleased with.
Yes. Did you actually have any hand in her Population in Britain book? You know, the Pelican
yes,
book.
Yes, I did. Yes, I'm just trying to remember. I can't remember when this came out and whether some of the
it came out in about 1947. But she was obviously working on it for longer.
Yes.
Long before that.
It must have come out. I'm quite sure that some of the statistics. There were a number of other women. Frieda Corbett,
was
it?
Was it? Yes, I don't know. I mean,
a number
Peggy
of other
J,
people.
Of course, another person you saw a lot of.
Yes.
Later.
But there was Frieda Corbett, and there were a number of other people who were involved in all this.
Yeah.
And there was also this man whom I also forget, who's now blind. I think he's still alive.
Dyot, you mean? And
no,
Dyot?
No. He was Dyot?
Dietitian.
Le Gros Clark. Now, he was an important person
in
her life. And
I've been to see him.
Yes?
Yes, he's still alive. And, and remember, well, he doesn't remember her very well, but he remembers the milieu she moved
in.
Yes. But what about balance in her life? You see, I think Rachel said to me something about Eva thinking that a sense of proportion was tremendously important, and that you mustn't get things out of perspective all the time, and in a sense forcing herself to be balanced about
Well, you see,
things.
What I was saying to Jen downstairs, I really think is quite... I mean, I would look at it this way. I mean, I may be quite wrong. And that is that whereas today we are concerned, and I think most most people who are concerned politically and socially with why things have happened in this way. Mm. And I think Eva was concerned at that time with how to make them happen. There was more a need to educate and impose a certain way of life. A real belief that if we could change things, we could change people. Whereas now we think more in terms of why people bring about this sort of
round people as they are. Yes. And you think introspection was, just following up another thing you were saying downstairs, was something foreign to her personality, really. She didn't
I didn't have the impression. You see, I have the feeling that she was quite depressed very often, and she dealt with her depression by working ever more, a bit like Orwell's character. Who worked ever harder?
Don't know.
In Animal Farm?
Can't remember now. I have so long since I read it. Perhaps it was Eva, you never know.
I don't know whether they knew each other. But certainly she dealt with depression and by working harder. Mm. And I don't think she was a person who would really have spoken of... I mean, there were times when in her family there were people who had emotional troubles.
Mm.
And I didn't ever have the feeling that perhaps she really understood what it was about.
Yes, I had a vague feeling about that. Certainly Diana, I think, feels in a sense she didn't understand.
I would absolutely agree with Diana on that, that she really didn't understand what it meant for her daughters to be deaf and what it meant. And actually, you know, there's an interesting parallel here because I think it's to do with the times. I think we should turn this off for a moment and you can use it. Partly I was very friendly with Rachel and have always been friendly with Rachel and followed Rachel through her life when she adopted her children and this sort of thing. Mm. So I knew what was happening to Eva through Rachel. Once the war was over and when did Eva die?
I was 1949.
Yes. I'm just trying to remember. I think that I was still in contact with her, but I don't think I moved more and more into the analytic world.
Mm.
And I think, on the whole, my sympathies perhaps were more with how people ticked.
Yes.
And less with...
how you put situations right in which people exist.
Yes, or even with directives. I kept, for example, Eva was interested, I believe, in King Alfred's school, and I was also interested in it, so there was a contact there.
Mm.
And I think we kept contact both through Rachel and through educational interests, and I was interested in educational matters. But
it wasn't as though she was doing you favours and things as she was with Ellen Elkey. I mean, you didn't need that. Whereas Ellen Elkey really seems to have needed quite a lot of help, really, because she was newly arrived in England.
Newly arrived in England.
Mm.
I think... Really,
she's also German, of course, which wouldn't have been easy.
Yes, that is the point, yes. I'm really trying to think about this.
I suppose you went to the cottage a bit, did you, in Cornwall as well?
We went to the cottage often, but this was, I was just trying to think again, this was as much through, I think this was after Eva died, when the cottage was Rachel's.
I see, yes.
That we continued to go to the cottage.
Yeah.
And I remember Rachel rang me up when her mother was in hospital and rang me up, so I must have been in contact with her mother.
Mm.
But... Mm. I don't think I was in the close, sort of intimate contact. Is it possible, you know, that I knew too much of Eva? I was together with her during this very sad time.
Mm.
And I knew about her closeness to Charles Graves. Mm. Now, I don't know how many other people knew about this.
Mm. Maybe she felt, as one does sometimes, embarrassed through the closeness of contact.
We did meet. I often went to have a meal there, or I went and... if I happened to be passing, and or if she would ring me up about something. But I was more friendly with Rachel after
that. Yes, she does have this capacity to enlist people's loyalties, doesn't she, somehow, and to get people enthusiastic about working for her. And I suppose, I don't know, I think she does that partly by being interested in the mass people and helping them in problems and so on.
I think there's another side to this, you know, that people used her. And that is to say that if you were, wanted to do something very badly, she was, in the same way as she could call upon people, she was available to help you to do something. And maybe that...
It was a two-way business.
Yes, it was a two-way business. Certainly, for example, I continued, I went on to open youth clubs all over England for displaced workers. So Eva and I remained in touch over this. But she had never been desperately interested in youth clubs, except through this fringe of education for citizenship, which certainly had something to do with the displaced workers. And she let me do this, because I was interested in it.
So, I see.
I also kept touch with her through Morley College, of course.
What was your impression of how she was regarded at Morley College? Was she sort of much loved, or was she just the tremendous organizer there, or
what? She was the force. She had tremendous capacity to start things and let other people go on with them. She certainly was very loved, although I don't think that the ordinary everyday person there knew her. Certainly later on in her life, as I said, she would doze off. Even though she was young, she died young. Yeah. She didn't die old.
Because one of her attractions is this tremendous energy she's got. She sweeps people off.
That's
for
right.
Things,
that's
she?
Right, yes. And, you know, I mean, people like, she gave people starts. I mean, and she stood by Benjamin Britten and Peter Pears. They were pacifists. And she was very enthusiastic for the war effort. But she didn't say to them, "Your pacifists, get out." She stood by them.
Yeah.
And she was, in this sense, an extraordinarily loyal person if someone really had an ideal.
She did actually become very pro-Churchill during the war, didn't she? She was rather patriotic, in a sense.
She was extraordinarily patriotic. She was quite right of the left. And she had another capacity. She could read through things, picking out just the things that were important and not reading the rest.
Could she really? Yes.
So that, you know, she could...
She was economical at
yes,
the time in
yes,
the paperwork.
Yes,
time.
Yes. I mean, she could read through an article and pick out what was important without reading the whole thing.
What about drafting things? Presumably you saw quite a lot of that. I mean, was she... Did you have to type out a lot of her drafts and so on? Was she good at creating...
I'm trying to remember this.
Things.
I don't really remember... But she must have been.
I mean, imagine she was...
I don't think I did a tremendous amount. I did a certain amount of this. I mean, she, you know, her correspondence floated all over the world. But I think I did more of the sort of work that was... You see, at that time, family allowances wasn't on the statute book. So we were working very hard on this. It was a very important aspect of the work. And this business of her population book. And I think the Education for Citizenship, which was... It seems to me that there was... The whole business of army education was very important for her.
Yes.
And I wonder whether there wasn't an important point, because... I don't think it was just by chance that my husband started an educational group in the army in Catterick camp, and he was private, and he got himself into a whole lot of trouble because everyone thought anyone who started education, a cultural centre he started, and I think she supported him in this.
Did she really?
And there was this whole WEA interest.
Did she actually give did you see her giving lectures herself to these groups of soldiers? Or
she wasn't a good lecturer at all.
Wasn't she?
No.
What was wrong then?
She spoke too quietly, and she didn't... she wasn't stimulating in the sense that her own enthusiasm didn't get across when she spoke to a large crowd. Mm. I'd be very interested to know what other people thought about this.
No, I think that does fit. Well, how much contact did you actually have with Eleanor then? I mean, you were working in...
Well, I went to her, yes, I went to Eleanor's quite often.
Did you?
I met her a great deal at the Houses of Parliament. I had to... I lectured for family allowances all over the country.
Really?
Mm. You know, one had a sort of standard lecture, but nevertheless, yes, sometimes there was great interest in family allowances.
Sure was, yeah.
And there were large meetings, and I'm amazed. And, you know, one lectured for all the women's societies and for...
Socialist groups, I suppose.
Not necessarily. Rotary clubs,
oh, yes,
and
yes.
The woman's
sort of
thing,
gathering.
Any
yes.
sort of gathering. Mm. And this I continued to do even when I'd finished working with her. Because
yes,
if I happened to be in a part of the country where they wanted someone to speak about...
Yes. But this, the family allowance...
And that was really Eleanor's business,
yes,
you know.
But it was all run from Eva's house,
that's
wasn't
right,
it?
That's right.
And you had a big office there?
No, I had an office in the roof like this.
Oh, did you? I see.
And a gestetner and a few other things. Sometimes a bit of help, but mostly alone.
I see. And she and Eva would come for certain hours every day in the morning, wasn't it? Presumably from 10 till 1 or something.
Eva was downstairs. She didn't come upstairs ever. She would sit in the chair with her legs up and a blanket round her in the winter. Or sometimes, I mean, if the weather was nice, it always went on in the garden. She
you mean dictation?
Yes.
Mm.
She would... Or she would leave notes about what had to be done.
Mm.
And Eleanor would ring up a great deal, or I would ring her. There were very often meetings or something that had to be prepared for Eleanor.
Mm.
And then there was a certain amount of overlapping because Eleanor was doing a lot of work for refugees, and that came into it too. But I don't believe, for example, that I was interviewed originally by Eleanor, and I don't believe Anna Nelke worked for Eleanor.
No, she didn't. No, Anna was very much Eva's.
She was Eva's... I mean, Eva did not have a private secretary at that time.
No,
When I was there.
So, yes.
Although I did a lot of her correspondence.
Mm. What were the houses like? I mean, Eva's was sort of fairly... frugal, was it, to live in? I mean, not lavishly furnished or anything like that.
Oh, it was most tastefully and beautifully furnished.
Was it really?
Yes.
Was it?
Mm. Oh, no, that wouldn't be true at all. It was one of these, it's still there, on the heath. It was done by a very eminent architect, actually.
Not Lutyens, or one of those, that period, anyway.
Yes,
right?
If you really want to know, I can find out.
Yes, I think it's probably in the book, because I think it's mentioned, actually.
It was a very beautiful house.
But inside, in its...
And inside, it was tastefully, extraordinarily tastefully done, with a lot of antique furniture and that sort of thing. Nice. I wouldn't consider it frugal, and I would consider that it had good taste. It certainly, it didn't have any of the, it was more garden suburb, but not the sort of rather pretty atmosphere. It was frugal only in the sense that she didn't care a great deal for, she certainly didn't give large parties, and she didn't care very well for food or for heat or that sort of thing.
Yes. What about Eleanor's house? I mean, she was living...
Eleanor lived in a flat.
Did she?
Near the Houses of Parliament.
What was that like? I mean, was that...
That was comfortable, very comfortable. Didn't she have someone looking after her? I think
well, Elizabeth
she had
McAdam
a resident.
She used to live with, didn't she?
That's
I mean,
right,
they did not
yes.
live with in the
McAdam.
Modern sense, but I mean, you know, they had...
Well, they were very close, and they were, and it was a very homely atmosphere.
Mm.
And certainly, I would say, although they were both very busy, there was greater comfort, as far as I remember.
Mm.
Comfort in the sense of luxury.
How did Eleanor, sort of, what was her manner with you? I mean, was she rather...
She's extremely brusque.
Was she?
Yes.
And not interested in you as a person?
No. I mean, Eva really was, and we remained, you know, I mean, I always knew that I could ring her or she would ring me, and we were good friends, and she was interested in my work and that sort of thing, but I didn't have any such contact with Eleanor. Mm.
She was, of course, Eleanor was a more better-known person, wasn't she?
Yes. Eleanor was right in the hub of everything, and,
yes.
Right until the end she was politically extraordinarily well-known, and she was like Summerskill. You know,
yes, of course, yes. So you just go to the House of Commons periodically for your instructions would you?
Or to take something, or to I must have seen her very, very many times, but, and I went to her flat too, but there was no close relationship, no. And I mean, I knew nothing about her life at all.
No, I understand. But it's interesting that they were so closely operating together at that time.
They operated very closely, but you know, there wasn't a great deal of, and they were very close friends, and yet there wasn't a great deal, as far as I was aware, of human contact between them. I
was
interested to know whether this was a real fact, but this is how I...
See, one rather interesting thing, which Diana said, I don't think she'd mind me saying to you, was that Eva and Mary Stocks, you'll remember, were rather competed for Eleanor's attention. There was there was no sexual relationship or anything like that, but there was a certain amount of sort of admiration or something for Eleanor.
Peter Corbett came into that too.
Did she? Yes. There was a certain rivalry, in
that's
a sense,
right,
between these two younger women for the attention or whatever of the older one. You know?
You see, I think, you know, I'm being very careful to speak, in a sort of observational way.
Yes.
But because, you know, there's not much good in trying to put a reconstruction, analytic reconstruction on the situation.
No.
But why I told you about Charles and why I felt it was important was that there was a certain covert homosexual atmosphere in this suffragette movement, in this movement of women. And there is no doubt that on the surface, Eva would have given that impression.
Yes. So that really corrects that superficial appearance, anyway. Yeah. Yeah.
I do think that one doesn't really know, but there was a certain quality of masculinity about her, and yet there was a very warm, feminine caring.
Yeah. You see, somebody said to me, I don't know who it was, that unlike many feminists between the wars, she not only can work with men easily, she enjoys men's company, and she gets on with men all right. In that she differs from Eleanor and from a lot of the...
She certainly wasn't disparaging of men, and there's no doubt that she enjoyed men. And nevertheless, I think it's fair to say, like all famous women, that to be her children meant to be... swamped by her intellect.
Yes, yes. Jolly difficult to be a suffragist or suffragette's child.
I think
particularly
so.
Particularly if you're a woman.
Yes,
Very difficult indeed. They either get totally overshadowed by their mother and have no personality, or they have terrific rows and ructions
and suffer
that way.
Yes,
I mean, either
yes.
way. It's not very
And
satisfying.
I mean, I think, of course, that this applies to... Both boys and girls. I mean, there's a sort of...
But there's not that feeling as a boy that you're betraying your mother as a fellow member of the sex by not being active.
But on the other hand, of course, there wasn't a man to identify with.
No, that's true. No. Did she actually ever talk about her husband to you much? Or to anybody? Did she miss him? Did she say, you know...
She told me that it didn't work well.
He drank, didn't he? And that's what Diana, I think, said to me.
I don't know. I don't know what she... I mean, she said it didn't work well. Mm. She said that she had never wanted to marry again. And she couldn't really quite understand that I wanted to marry. You know.
Tying herself up.
Yes. Mm. She liked... I mean, she was a person who on the whole, wanted to be independent, and I think she wanted, in a way, to be the man of the family. And yet, there was this other side to her.
On the other hand, your feeling is that she was depressed in later life, probably because, partly because, she the liberty that she'd enjoyed as a younger woman wasn't really enough when you're in your 50s, sort of thing. Not satisfying enough.
I think I would go further than this. I just don't know enough about her life. But I have the feeling that there were two sides to her, and that there was a side of her that really was quite lonely and isolated.
Mm. Mm. Certainly, Diana said she used to wake up in the mornings and feel terribly depressed sometimes in these
yes.
early mornings.
Yes, yes. I have the feeling that I don't know whether she was groomed to be an academic and groomed to be, it was expected of her. I mean, I don't even know how she got brothers.
Brothers? Oh, yes, I've met one of them. Much more conservative than she was. I mean, she had rows inside the family. I'll switch off. You keep on saying interesting things. I mean, when you say an element of competitiveness...
Well, she could work with men, but she wanted to be their equal. And she wanted even to be able... I mean, I would be very interested to know what Mr. Cottrell will say to you. But my feeling about Mr. Cottrell, who I liked very much, was that he was a rather little man. With
yes,
he was towering above him, you
I
see.
I understand.
Yeah. And...
would allow himself to take second place.
Yes, and I had the feeling that she had these two relationships with men. There were people like Lord Simon who she wanted terribly much to be respected and admired by. And then there were these men whom she really was better than. And, you know, it would make sense to me now, if I look back on it, to think of Eva as a person who competed with her brothers and who wanted... her parents and perhaps especially her father to love her as much and respect her as much, and that would put her into the right frame for me.
Yeah, of course, in the Jewish communities anyway, attached tremendous importance to the sons.
That's
they?
Right. Yes,
which might again fit one of the very.
How should we put it? she countered this problem of not being sure of. Being liked by withdrawing into herself or being very sure of herself. But the sureness, she was a deeply shy woman, and the sureness was always a sort of defensive sureness.
Mm. Yes, yes, which you could misunderstand as being rather
arrogant and,
yes.
Mm. And I mean, I didn't know this business about her school, but it really makes sense for me, because...
Well, she hated it. She loved her family. She loved her parents.
Oh,
no,
greatly. I mean, her mother, Lady Spielman, was very much... She was alive when I knew her.
Was she really? Mm. Yes, yes. A rather good memoir of her written by Winifred, actually. Mm. She sounds rather...
But, you see, whereas Winifred, whom I don't know terribly well, but I've met on a number of occasions, was a much warmer person.
I see.
Much
yes.
more motherly. I think Winifred
she
has
is,
children, probably. Hasn't she?
I'm not sure about that, but she certainly is motherly.
Yes, yes, yes.
That. And embarrassed, actually, by her brothers. Mm. I noticed that when I went there, sort of rather...
You see, when people... it's difficult for me to look at it in quite the way you do, because this sort of obsessive need to fill in every minute was much more not to be alone with herself. And I, even then, sensed a sense of depression if she was alone with herself.
Mm.
So the need was always to fill in every minute of her life.
Mm. So it's not really a puritanical feeling, well, it may be at one level a puritanical feeling about not wasting time, but it's also a deep personal need.
I don't see it as this puritanical feeling, really. There was a No, I saw it much more, really, and I felt it then, although I didn't understand it. I mean, I hadn't been... as a need, really, to feel absorbed.
Mm.
And feel absorbed outside rather than to feel absorbed inside.
Did she actually ever encourage you into psychiatry? I mean...
No.
I mean, because she was quite interested in it, wasn't she? I mean, she may not have actually involved in herself in it at all, but she was interested.
I have a feeling she knew... look, again, switch this thing off. That's about something.
Yes.
I repeat that for what it's worth. I mean, I think her life was probably motivated by a very great unconscious longing to be of value and valued, which probably had its origin in her family background.
Competing with the brothers.
Something of that sort, and which perhaps had something to do with a sort of despair and sadness, which she carried with her all the time, and which she dealt with by this constant attempt to externalize everything and to do good outside. Because there was no doubt about her very great wish to help and to do good.
Yes.
And perhaps also, I mean, she was looking for something that she missed in her own life. I just don't know.
Well, on that note of